Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 295. This is the Android App Discovery Show. We talk about apps maybe you guys have not heard of before. You can install them on your phones, devices, etc. And maybe, you know, get some enjoyment, learn more about Android, and yeah, all that stuff. I'm Steve Cherubino. I'm one of your hosts. Also joining us is Steve McLaughlin, the door-to-door geek from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Santa gets all the credit. We parents get debt. I'm just saying. This is the time
we parents get what?
Debt. D-E-B-T. Debt.
Yes. I agree with you on that one. I'm not a parent, but I agree.
Well, it's because like I told my son, I said, look, Santa can't buy everything. Because you know why? Nobody pays Santa. Do you pay Santa? I don't pay Santa. So he has a limited budget.
You don't have to buy anything. He's got elves.
Yeah. Well, his elves are pickpockets, I guess. I don't know. I will say this year in the McLaughlin household, there is going to be at least three Android related gifts in the house. A tablet and a case for my youngest son. And I'm a proponent of a sub $100 tablet for a child. Why? So when the child breaks it, you're not furiously mad. I'm just saying. Gameplay, gift cards. This is the time of year, people. Create a separate account. I have door2doorgeek@gmail.com. That's my account. I also have, my sons have an account where I put their gift cards on that account. I have that account on my phone and on their tablets, which means from a full web browser, I can buy games and push them down to the tablets, or I can buy myself a game. And then if it's family friendly enough, put it down on their tablets. But shared accounts are a beautiful thing on Android and on Amazon. Both of them, you can share accounts, and it's basically intended for you to share accounts. So use it wisely.
Good tip, man. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, not much. Dor, have you tried out at all the sub $100 tablet to see if it's resistive touchscreen versus capacitive or anything?
No, that old touchscreen technology is dead. Screens have came down so much in prices now. What you're getting for sub $100 a year and a half ago would have been $200. This is a quote unquote RCA tablet. It's actually the exact same tablet his other brother has. Not the fastest.
It's not bad.
For what they use it for, not bad at all. Once the game loads, it runs fine. Only a few games say that they're not compatible with the tablet. And it will run out of space eventually where it starts to nag about, oh, there isn't enough space to install. Well, then that's when you just go into your SD card folders, go into the .android folder, I believe, and just delete those folders. There's plenty of room now. Of course, their saved games are gone, but there's plenty of room now.
True.
That's cool. Very cool. All right. It is the day where we talk about different applications. We're going to empty some tanks, and we're just going to like shovel out some apps to you guys. Let's start with Eric.
All right. I mentioned it a couple episodes ago that I got the Fire Stick TV in the mail. I was one of the early adopters, so I got it for half price. It took a while. You know, it took like over a month to get it actually shipped here, but it arrived the day before yesterday, and I hooked it up. I just wanted to bring the Amazon Fire TV app, the companion app for that Fire Stick. You can basically access this device with this app. You can Chromecast to it, I believe. It looks like you can, but I haven't done it. Or you can use its remote that it comes with, or you can use a game controller that you can buy separately for like $30. This, if you remember the Apple TV or the, I'm sorry, Amazon TV commercials that with Gary Busey, they had shown where you can just talk and do searches that way, you know, through a vocal search. And that has this bit, it's built into this app. And it's kind of neat how they do it. So it's not listening to you all the time, supposedly. You really have to pull down the top, like you're actually opening like a notification drawer. And as you have that held down, you speak, and you'll see it up on your TV and the waveform on your phone. and then it works really well. It, you know, picks up whatever you said and does a search. I don't know if it's really going across all of the platforms that are offered on, like, the Fire TV, like, such. If you say a certain name of a movie, if it's going to search through all of Netflix library as well as Amazon's, I think it's only searching Amazon's. It's not going elsewhere, like a huge search of every, you know, possible way to get the content. And then basically it's kind of an odd, it doesn't have, like, the Roku app always had basically a GUI in their app that reminded you exactly of the Roku remote. Now this is totally, it's not like that on this. The remote that comes with, it's a circle with a button in the middle, like an old iPod. And the, this app is basically just like a touch screen, and you just tap and swipe across the touch screen to do everything.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a weird looking app. I almost miss buttons, but I guess if you want to work with the lights off and just have your, you know, have your phone sitting there and use it like basically a touchpad on the bottom of your laptop or something, it would work pretty much the same way.
I guess so. Interesting. You did get me interested in that Fire Stick, though. I definitely got to pick one of those up.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think they're $40 now. I got mine for $20, but I'm sure they're going to have sales between now and Christmas.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
I think if anybody, especially if you're, if you've got a Kindle Fire or Kindle Fire HD or something, and you're already into the Amazon experience, it's a no-brainer. If you're a Prime member, it's definitely a great item because you get 20,000 movies right then, you know, without even having to pay for anything.
Cool. You want to just empty your tank? Sure.
Okay, my next one. Now, I'll bring the next one first. This one's called Obscure. This is a picture sharing application with a kind of a twist to it. Basically, you take a picture and you can do a bunch of effects to your picture. But then when you share it with other people who have Obscure installed, they have to do something special to see what you've shared with them. Like, say, one of them is, it'll show your picture, but there's going to be a bunch of fire all around it. And they have to blow into their phone to blow the fire out to actually see the picture you sent them. I guess it's kind of discreet if there's people around. One of them would be like a fogged up mirror, and they'll have to clear off the fogged up mirror to see your picture. There's just a bunch of fun stuff that you can do. You can kind of do the, I think of Picture It from Microsoft way back, where you can do a blob and make like somebody's eyes really big or whatever. you can do all that kind of stuff. It's kind of neat.
Do you get to pick what the other person has to do, or is it random?
No, you get to pick. Yeah, you get to pick what they have to do. And you can do different things for each picture.
That's cheesy. Throwback one is cheesy. Fire. Huh. Pretty neat, man. Interactive. One of them's like a little slider puzzle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Huh. That's interesting.
I haven't, you know, I don't have any friends on Obscure to really test it too much, but
one of them's a zipper.
Oh.
Yeah, the zipper one's actually kind of neat. It's and especially it depends on what picture you put behind it too.
Yeah.
Okay, my next two apps are both going to be for people with Android Wear devices. This first one is called Wear Apps Tracker. I'll put this in the show notes, and this is a very useful app, which I'm sure will be baked into Wear probably in the next revision or two. It basically is an easy way to see what you have installed on your watch and what is getting installed. It gives you a notification that says, hey, you just installed blah, 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 blah. And it's nice to know that stuff because it's not really that obvious on a Wear device what's going on like it is on a phone. So this really gives you a nice way to see what you have installed, because that's not obvious either. But the little pop-up when things get installed and updated is also very nice.
How How are you liking that watch? I haven't asked you that in a while.
I am. I'm liking it a lot. I like playing with the faces. I change faces, you know, 3 or 4 times a week because people are really beginning to get creative with them. The more adoption goes into these watches, more people start getting them, especially when the price is coming down. The more people have time to tinker and make their own watch faces and they share them out there. It's nice.
Yeah, I saw one that was really interesting where it's all black with gray numbers, but where the hands are, there were small slivers of brighter colors. So really, like, instantaneously, when you're looking at the watch, you don't have to really look at it to know, you know, 2:15, even though it's 2:14 or 2:16, you just really quickly glance and you just know what time it was.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some neat ones. Like, one of them is like a Commodore 64 interface. I've got some on Facer that anybody who has it, if they haven't heard before, go to facerepo.com, select if your watch is a circle or a square, and then just download them to your Facer app. I think Facer app you had to pay for, if I remember right, but it's worth every penny. And then basically, once they're in your Facer app, you get a display on your screen, and you can just type whichever one you want and install it right into your watch. It takes like 2 seconds to change your watch face. Jeez. Some of them have the weather, some of them don't. Some of them have battery status, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
very cool.
Facer was only $1.
Okay, yeah, definitely worth $1.
A bargain.
Makes installing watch faces so easy, and making them. If you're creative, you can make them right on there too. That last one was called Wear Apps Tracker. I highly recommend that one to anybody who has one, has a watch. Currently, I mean, in the future, it's probably all going to be baked into the OS. The next one, it goes right along with those lines. This is called Wear Buddy. This is also a lot of really nice features. You can check right on your watch what your phone battery is. Every time I leave my office and go down the hall, my watch will vibrate for just a second. It'll light up and say, "Hey, your phone's disconnected. Did you forget it?" And, you know, once or twice, I actually was leaving for lunch and did leave my phone on my desk and forgot. I did forget it. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I did. I should probably take that with me."
Damn, so yeah, that's anytime a good feature.
You lose Bluetooth connection, it just gives you a little notification on your wrist saying, "Hey, you left it behind."
Wow. Interesting.
That could save you. That's nice. You know, just once, you know, that could really save you. That's free.
I agree.
That one's called Wear Buddy.
Okay.
That's about it. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got one more. I almost forgot. This is Dora's favorite one.
But wait, there's more.
There is a Microsoft app for your Google Wear. This one is called Torque Voice Search. It's gimmicky. It works pretty well. I think it probably works better on a Microsoft watch than it does on this one.
They have Microsoft watches?
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that.
Well, I'll say this. They have Microsoft around the wrist products. They do tell time and they do more things, but they're not what we think of as smartwatches. They do stuff like heart rate monitoring, vibrations connected to your phone. They do some notification of what's happening on your phone, but they're not smart. I don't want to insult them, because in actuality, Microsoft makes great keyboards, great mice. They made great routers back in the day. Everyone I've heard who's touched these Microsoft wristbands has really spoken very highly of them.
What I would have to say, that this is like a launcher. When you get a launcher on a phone, this would be a launcher for your watch made by Microsoft. And its big gimmick is you just do a voice search. Instead of saying, "Okay, Google," like you normally would with your watch, you just take your wrist and you go like this, like you're torquing a handlebar on a motorcycle, or just a little back and forth. And then instantly it comes up. It says it's listening. You say something into it and it does a Bing search for that.
Mm.
Well, I think I found the flaw with the application.
it will search your, I mean, you can make a note even though I tried to make a note, you know, or set in a schedule event, thing like that, it doesn't work as good as the built-in Google one, really. So that's not that great. It'll get there, though, I think they're going to be working on it. Yeah, the Bing search is kind of a bummer on that.
That's funny. Cool, but dude.
It's a good-looking, very nice first attempt by Microsoft to get into the Android Wear arena. I mean,
sure.
Better than I would have expected them to do.
Yeah, they're so hit and miss. It's crazy.
Well, they might be hit and miss, but I'll say this, Steve. You should have realized, though, in like the last 5-6 months, we've said the word Microsoft actually a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing everything they can to be ubiquitous on every platform. And that wristband works on Windows phones, Android phones, and iOS devices from day one. They're doing everything they can to work on as many platforms with as many things as possible. Like Office for Android. I mean, they're not segregating themselves, which honestly, I think they're in a place where they can't segregate themselves, but it's a really good business decision to not segregate yourself, to try to be on many platforms. Because people who like Bing, they're out there. There are people that like Yahoo. There are people that like Google. There are people that like Bing. The people that like Bing will see that app and just immediately gravitate towards it and be like, this is it.
They will. And they'll get 5 downloads.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say they like Bing, but I'm sure they're out there too.
And I'm sure they like quilting or crocheting or.
But if somebody just wants a different look and a different UI to their watch, they're bored with the Google thing. This is a great. You know, it's basically like a launcher. When you get tired of the UI on your phone, you put a new launcher on it and it changes it up. This is a neat change. You know, OneDrive works on every platform. It's the only cloud service that really works that well. And I read, you would know this, Dor, but I read a quote that says, that was from Linus Torvalds, that said, when Microsoft is building applications for Linux, I won. Well, he did then, right? Because Android's pretty much Linux.
Yes, but he also said something which is a very common quote. A dog is most dangerous when it's backed into a corner. Microsoft will only make things for other platforms when they're backed into a corner. They contributed code to the Linux kernel. They're making apps for iOS. They're making apps for Android. They're right now in a very dangerous predicament, and I expect them to come out fighting. Like hardcore, you know.
What's dangerous about their predicament?
They're losing ground everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it's only good for us because
Steve, they're losing ground everywhere. The server market, they're losing ground. The laptop market, they're losing ground. The mobile device market, they're losing ground. The office market, they're losing ground. The email server market, they're losing ground. Everywhere they're losing ground.
Chromebooks are the Apple II of our age. When we were in school and every school had Apple, every school is Chromebooks now. They are just so virus free, cheap, durable,
easy to manage.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
But they're also being very dynamic right now. They're changing right now. They're doing a lot of interesting things right now.
Mm-hmm.
As a tech guy, I'm really interested to see what Microsoft's going to do in the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next year. But as a Linux guy, I'm terrified of what they're going to do.
I think you're going to eventually like them. That's what I foresee.
Steve.
I think they're still doing the same thing they did because I can't install Office on any of my Android devices. So that's, and it's not like I have some obscure phone or tablet. These are kind of mainstream ones that I own.
Well, but what you do have is a very new phone, Eric. I will say that. Well, and when was the last time you checked?
I haven't checked this week. But my Nexus 7 is a Nexus 7. You know, that's probably the third most popular tablet I would hope for Android.
Should be. Yeah.
Right behind the other Nexus 7 and maybe a Galaxy Tab or something.
Android, Kindle.
Yeah.
All right. Nice tank, Eric.
Thanks, sir.
Dor, you're up.
Okay. First app I'm going to bring, it's a little bit of Oh man. I'm going to say this is a app with a deeper message. I think the most accurate way I can put it. There's a lot of reasons to install apps because they're cool, because they're friendly, because your friends are on them. This is an app to install to help Mozilla as a company and to help openness. Okay. Google and other companies went out and they basically scanned, they put cars out on the road and they scanned Wi-Fi networks and cellular networks, and they used GPS positioning to know where they were at, collecting geographic type data so they could more accurately pinpoint where people are at when they don't have GPS. So when you're connected to this cell tower and you can see these Wi-Fi access points, you're right around here kind of information. Those companies never shared that information. They kept it to themselves. Mozilla does not have the money to hire these companies to do this kind of work. So what they did was they put out an Android application. It might be on other platforms, but I know it's on Android, and it's called Mozilla Stumbler. This is an official Mozilla app where it basically can just run in the background. You can also set it to where it will automatically turn on when it detects that you're driving. So it can be quiet in the background. Then when it detects that you're driving, it can be activated. And all it really does is it pings your cell tower, pings Wi-Fi points, pings GPS, sends data to Mozilla, rinse, lather, repeat. And basically they're getting all this data, and Mozilla being Mozilla, they're going to make all this information available for anybody to use. So you're really supporting open structure, open information, and open data by installing this app. Now, the people who really should install this app, I will say the people I'm asking to install this app are in no particular order, but truck drivers, delivery people, people who are just on the road a lot, going from point A to point B kind of thing. You're the kind of people who really Mozilla needs. I'm not going to say I need. Mozilla needs you kind of people to install this application to aggregate as much data as possible. So when you're in the Mozilla browser or you're using a non-Google service or a non-Microsoft service, these people can get good location data from you, and basically provide people with a better service.
That sounds cool.
Yeah,
sounds like a humanitarian thing to do.
If I wasn't afraid that it was going to pull down battery life, I just had a guy ask me the other day. He's like, you know, I got an update on my phone, and now my battery life is going way downhill, and it's just always scanning for Wi-Fi. Always, it's never stops scanning Wi-Fi.
And turn off Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Without doing that, how do I get my battery life back? And I didn't think about it at the time, but I'm pretty sure it had to have something to do with his location being hypersensitive location, and that he just needed to bump that down a level or something. I don't want to diss this. I think it's a great cause, and yeah, I mean, if more, you know, it's too bad that Google didn't share that stuff, because that could just make so many more apps better. But
Google has the API open, so you as a developer can use it, but if you overuse it, you have to pay for it. That's why I really only encourage people to use this who are the people who are in their cars and have their phone plugged into chargers all the time. Because I literally do expect this to use more battery than not. Now, here's the thing, Eric. If you just have a couple days of really cloudy weather, that's going to affect battery usage, because your GPS and your device will constantly be trying to find an accurate signal. It just like if you're in a building that gets a very weak cell service, you're going to use a lot more battery because your phone's fighting to get that signal. So there's a lot of different variables that can bring down your battery life. No doubt this uses extra battery. I wouldn't expect it to go ballistic and use a lot, but I would expect if you don't have your phone plugged in and you're driving for an hour, you're going to notice you lost more battery than you thought you were.
Yeah, no, I totally understand you saying somebody driving with it plugged in, that's not hurting anything. Are you personally identifiable? Do you have to log in with any kind of you know, tracking name or anything that ties you to everywhere you went?
No, Mozilla said that they're not keeping any individual's information. They're capturing what is the name of the Wi-Fi points that you're by and the cell towers you're by and your GPS signal that you're at, but it's not identifiable back to you. Now, I will say you can option to put a name in, and then you can look at their leaderboard and you can see how well you're doing compared to other people.
Well, that's cool. So they gamify a little bit. So truck drivers could score huge.
Yeah. So I'll just say if Kevin installs this app, he might be number one in like a week. Because he's a truck driver.
And then he wins what? Cash prize?
He wins the Acclaim and something.
Prestige
of everyone else playing.
If Kevin wins and sends us a screenshot of him being number one on the leaderboard, we'll definitely bring it up and he'll get fame this way.
That reminds me, guys. Keep talking for 2 minutes. I got to get something. I have to show you. Okay. I'll be right back.
Okay. And I'll say this. Mozilla, here's the gimmick about...
He went to go get the new Amazon Echo that came in there, right?
Huh? Sure, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just got to say this. Mozilla is the kind of company that I really do encourage we support as people because their only income is by us using their products. Everything they do is completely open. You can download the working Mozilla website code and run it yourself. You can download Firefox yourself, rebrand it, and republish it, and it's completely legal. This company, while their staffing calls in the past have been not so great, I think the company as a whole, I really do like, and I'm a guy, I don't trust companies, Eric, at all. Because do you know why? Because I can't walk up to a company and punch it in its face. You know, I try to deal with people, not companies, whenever possible. Mozilla is one of those companies I genuinely think has the best of intentions, and they really do try hard to do open and free as much as possible.
Speaking of Acclaim and awards and winning, did you guys know Android App Addicts is an award-winning podcast?
Whoa,
and I have the proof right here. We won this last year. I just got it now. This is a talkie award, and we won best tech talk show. And this is, I just picked up this trophy yesterday. Somebody else was holding it for me, and I just got it. This is ours. We earned this.
Okay.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm just going to say this right now. The next Android App Addict t-shirt might have to have that on there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we need to pick
that. Isn't it cool?
Yeah. Hey, can you take a picture of that and Google Plus it to me or Vox it?
Yeah. Yep.
That's so cool.
So good job, guys. We want a talkie. And I actually heard the ceremony this year, the talkie awards this year is going to be huge.
Are we in the running?
It might actually get some. I don't know. I got to find out. But it's supposed to be quite an event.
When is it? Do you know? Is it soon?
I forget. I got to look it up. I'm not sure.
If it's road trippable, if we could all just show up. And
it's in Tampa.
That's good for one of us. One out of three, we could probably get in there.
Yeah, you guys are welcome to come down anytime.
I need to. It's going to feel like Tampa this week, though. It's going to be 50 this week. I'm sorry. Dory, you still got amps, I bet.
50's not Tampa, Eric. That's freezing for Tampa. People would freak out if it was 50.
It's usually zero here, so it's a heat wave for us.
All right, that's good for you guys. All right, Dory, yes, continue.
Okay, the next app I'm going to bring...
what are you doing, show notes,
Dory? The next app I'm going to bring is the complete opposite in a lot of ways than that last app. That last app was all about openness, about sharing. It's more pointedly, that is about voluntarily sharing. You opt in to sharing your information. This is the complete opposite. This is called Ghostery Privacy Browser. Now, Ghostery has been a pretty popular plugin on Chrome and Firefox for at least a couple months. Even guys like Steve Gibson have mentioned it. This is by the same company, from what everything I can tell. And what this is a browser that does everything in its power to block stuff like cross-site cookies or all kinds of tracking information. This is the browser you install when you want to search for a Christmas present for your wife. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Or your girlfriend.
Ghostery.
Privacy browsing is all you got to remember.
Nice door.
Thank
you. How does this different from incognito mode?
Incognito mode still does not pay any attention to the do not track status. There's more than a couple things like that that incognito mode doesn't do. The only thing incognito mode actually does is not cache.
Doesn't save history. Yeah,
it doesn't save history. And it doesn't cache the results kind of thing. Everything you download is fresh kind of thing. This does more. I don't think this actually goes as far as to give you like a VPN connection kind of thing, but this is just one part of a complete privacy, what's the word? Like a paranoid Sweet. Status on your device. Sweet. This is a big part of it.
You're breaking up, dude. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, your signals went downhill a lot.
So, yeah.
Because Eric looks fine, and your signal went horrible, Steve.
Shut up. Just fix your stupid machine.
I got to agree with Dora on this one, Steve. I think that might have been yours.
No, but that's okay.
Really?
We can digress. We don't have to get, accurate or anything. Next app is actually a regurgitation from over 200 episodes ago.
Ooh, that's
That's a long time deep. Ago. But I needed this because I was doing the game recording app, SOSHOU.TV, and I needed to edit the video. But all I needed to do was just trim the video. So I went back to Steve C's pick from like episode 65 called Vid Trim Video Editor. And bottom line is it just worked. It worked exactly as advertised, simple, effective. Click trim, click the beginning point, and this is what I really like about the app. Click the beginning thing and it starts to play it from where you clicked it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Then when you do that, it just keeps playing, but you then tap where the ending is and it starts playing where the ending is. So it isn't like you have to wait the whole video to find out what you're trimming off kind of thing. And it does much more than that. It can transcode into a different format. It can merge two other video files. It can save the audio to MP3. You can just grab still images from it. You can add some kind of effects to it. I don't know. Rotate, share, rename, delete. Period. Bottom line. Simple, 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 yet very effective video trimming application.
Well, these guys, for being that old of an app that we brought, I mean, they just updated this yesterday. I mean, they're still going strong.
Damn.
Yeah. So
how many downloads they got? Millions?
121,000 reviews.
That's just reviews, yeah.
10 to 50 million.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow.
So I'll say Steve knows how to pick them. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Longevity, man. Way to go, Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. This next one I'm going to bring, I'm not using. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not using. And that's because I don't even answer my phone when it rings. Okay. I don't, unless it's my wife. I don't answer. Because why? Because I don't want to talk to you. I don't text either. Why? Because I don't want to text with you. If I did, you'd be using Voxer. But this was really interesting. Okay. It's called Human. H-U-M-I-N. Gets us a play on human. Phone and contacts beta. Now, here's what this really does a lot differently. You can basically do searches in here like met last week. And it will show you people you added last week. So this is definitely a different approach on contacts management. I don't know. I don't know if this is enough, though, but it's definitely interesting. And I wanted to mention it just because it's different. And I really love the idea of contacts management being stretched and pushed into different places. Right now, I'm still using Ready, I believe is the one from a long time ago. R-E-A-D-Y, Ready. I did look at this. I did look at the video of this. I did download it. I got rid of it because I liked Ready better. But this might be the ideal, dare I say, contacts application for you.
Huh. Remembers all your relationships just like you do. That's pretty cool. This would
be nice if it worked with Google Glass. And you just scan people's faces.
Yeah, well, then if that was the case, I would have Google Glass and this.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember anybody.
Hmm.
Okay. What I'm going to bring next here is another one of those task applications. And I'm just bringing this because, again, they're stretching the boundaries. They're doing something completely different. This is called Drop Task Visual To-Do List. And the first screenshot should tell you this is completely different. Instead of just instead of just a bulleted list, this is, it organizes things in bubbles, and you can have multiple things inside of one bubble and then have connections from one bubble to a different bubble. This was just interesting enough for me to download and play with for a while. This might be the kind of thing that just intrigues you enough that you actually do task management.
Yeah. I still haven't found a task management app I like. Maybe I'm just not that type.
You got to keep working it. You got to keep working it. I eventually settled with Google Calendar and just putting them up at the top of the calendar on the tasks and tasks.
I just do first in first in, first out, and I just try to just work hard. I don't know.
LIFO, FIFO.
Yes.
Last in, first out.
As a freelancer, and different things like podcast consulting, I need to set appointments. I've missed enough that, like, in the early stages where I had to figure out something real fast. And Google Calendar has just been what I settled with. I mean, I wish it was more glitzy than that, but that just works.
Did you ever play with Evernote or anything like that too, or not?
Yeah, I tried Evernote. I tried To-Do, T-E-U-X, D-E-U-X. I've tried that Milk one. I did the one that's German. I can't remember the name of that, like Wonderlist or something. Yeah.
What do you think of this one then?
This one, I'd have to see it. I mean, it looks crazy, totally different. So I'd have to use it, but it might work.
Well, I'll say this, Eric. If you look at Basecamp and you're interested enough that you really would like to play with it, let me know. Because I believe you have to pay for it, and I'm willing to pay for a month to play with it to see if it's the right app for me too. Because everyone that I know who's really deep into management, project management, task management, team management swears that Basecamp's the right answer.
Hmm.
Okay. And again, I'm going to completely just swerve again on applications. I don't know who this application's for, but it's from Guardian News and Media, which immediately throws up a red flag. It's called Happy for Life. You start the app by telling the app how happy you're feeling, and then it asks you to choose an activity for the day. Do you want to watch a motivational video? Would you like to compliment someone? I don't comprehend this app at all, but something tells me there's a huge group of people out there that would install this app and love it. I just don't know who they are.
Well, it would have to be compatible with their devices, with which this one is not compatible with any of mine.
Nor mine.
It's got an average of 3 stars, 8 1-star reviews. Somebody's not too happy using this app.
Maybe it's only for UK people, Guardian News. You know, that's what I think.
It's possible.
I don't know. But
I think it's a good idea. I mean, I like spreading happiness. Have you tried it, Dor?
No, because I looked at the screenshots and I was a little bit mildly freaked out. What if I put in there, I'm not happy? I'm afraid to click through and keep clicking what they're going to do.
See, that's when you need the motivational video.
Well, I don't want it to say, you know, you need some Zoloft or some, you know what? I don't want it to say that.
Or if it'll be like, go out and smile. Or say, like, I hate
it. Yeah, it's pouring down, raining like out, that. There's lightning, you know.
The thing is, when somebody's not happy, a lot of times they don't want to be happy. They're not in the mood to be happy. So an app that's going to tell you to be happy if you're not happy is something you don't want. It should be like, keep being miserable.
Well, what if you put in there that you're really happy and it tells you to walk up to somebody and punch them?
that would be your app then.
That'll be my app.
It
was just weird enough I had to bring it. And I, yeah.
Outdoors app would be like, if you're not close enough to get punched in the face by a door, he doesn't trust you.
No, Doors app is, how do you feel? It doesn't matter. Just go take a nap.
Make some bacon.
Mm-hmm. I got a motivational pro tip if anybody wants one. To keep your cheery disposition, put a little tag on your phone to remind you to smile before you answer it. On your office phone. You're not going to put that on your...
I don't answer my office phone either.
Okay. Well, for those who do, smile right before you answer it. It helps.
Helps what?
You not get so mad that the phone just rang.
Every time someone even calls me, Eric, first thing I do is I say, whatever you're going to tell me, you should have just told me by email.
Yeah.
Do you really do that?
Yes. Different job than I do, though.
Yes. No.
Me too. I can't do that to some.
I have to because everything needs to be documented clearly. When someone asks me,
these are like coworkers and stuff.
I'm at work. Who is it going to be?
People who know you.
Except for the fake people selling me Google SEO stuff. You know, you can get ranked higher. This is a state building. What's wrong with you? I don't give friends or my work phone number, Eric.
What about coworkers?
Yeah. Honestly, I've changed my number 3 times in the last year just because people keep figuring it out.
Dor, what phone should I buy? Shut up and email.
Whatever makes you happy. That's what I tell people.
What app should I get? Happy for life. Oh, okay.
Thanks. Exactly. Whatever needs to be said at work needs to be documented. If someone asks me to do something, I need documentation that they're asking me to do something because they're never going to ask me correctly. And I need to have documented proof that you didn't ask me right.
You didn't ask me right. Yeah. So I didn't do it.
Well, you got,
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Absolutely.
You have to be detailed.
I can't stand the phone. I can't stand the phone either. Yeah. But sometimes people call me and they're paying me money. And I have to talk.
Well, yeah. I figured out one of the calls I didn't answer today was from Get Response. Because I looked at the phone, I'm like 646 area code. And then before I was able to look up what is 646 area code, which it turned out to be Manhattan, New York, it said, I got an email. This is Marty from Get Response. I just tried to call you to confirm your phone number.
You know, I get that a lot. A lot of people who call first will immediately respond with an email saying, I left a message on your end. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I was on the other line. Because I don't get a ton of phone calls, but every time I do, I get 3 of them during the one.
Yeah.
I always get one whenever I'm in a spot where I can't answer the phone. Mm-hmm. It's uncanny.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. What else you got, Dor?
Oh, that's all I got for this week, unless you want me to go dig into the vault. I think I brought some good stuff.
You brought some good stuff. I think we went long enough. Well, what do you want to say to the folks before we end off this fine show,
Dor? If every pork chop was perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs?
Eric, what do you want to say to the folks?
I'll just say thanks for listening. How soon are we giving away a watch? Can I ask you guys that?
We got to wait for this guy to not claim his. Who was it? Who was the winner? Do we remember his name?
Nope.
For the
Well, we announced the winner. Smartwatch? If he doesn't, I think we gave him two or three weeks. We gave him 2 weeks.
It was 2 from the time it was going to be broadcast, which turned out to be 1 day short of 3 weeks.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
I thank you for a week or two ago when you guys had the developer of LastPass on. She sold me, man. I'm going to sign up. And I love the idea of profiles so I can keep a work profile with all my work passwords because I'm horrible with those. And Doran, you're a LastPass user. Do you have passwords that have to be changed every so often? On a regular basis, it handles that pretty well, too.
No, very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I signed up, too. Yeah.
How many years did you go? Yeah. I think I'm going 3 years.
No, I You know, I just signed up. I didn't do the pay yet. I only have it on one machine.
Okay.
Don't tell Amber.
But don't forget. Anyone who gets LastPass Premium, do not forget to download the standalone application for your operating system and sync your password vault down to your local computer. Just in case something happens, you want to have all your passwords on your own hardware.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, my name's Steve Cherubino. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Check out my other podcast at The Producer. Wait, where is that now? No, it's at edmr.com, edmmr.com. I interview DJs and producers who make electronic music, and I ask them how they do it, how they became popular, how they get their music out there. And if you're a musician, you might like it. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for this week. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.